And our featured story, I'm sure you've heard about it. There was a terrorist attack in Washington, D.C., an Afghan national targeted, ambushed, and shot two National Guardsmen about a mile away from the White House. He was identified as a 29-year-old, basically an Afghan refugee. They claim he shouted Allahu Akbar when he did the shooting. And this is a story from the New York Times. It says, quote, the suspect accused of critically wounding two National Guard members in a shooting near the White House entered the country in 2021 through a refugee program for people fleeing from Afghanistan. Local officials said the suspect, who was injured after opening fire in a busy tourist area, appeared to have acted alone, targeting members of the West Virginia National Guard. The suspect was identified as Ramanullah Lakhanwal, age 29. He came to the United States through a program known as Operation Allies Welcome, which provided entry to Afghan nationals fleeing the Taliban takeover of their country after the withdrawal of U.S. troops under President Joe Biden. President Trump in Florida on Wednesday said on social media that the gunmen would pay a very steep price. He also ordered a deployment of 500 additional troops to Washington to supplement the more than 2,000 already on the ground. Also said we need to review everybody that's here on a visa, if that's worth anything. Now, about this story, it's like I said at the top of the show. So this 29-year-old Afghan shoots two National Guardsmen. And people are going to read the name, which is Ramanullah Lakhanwal, and they're going to hear the national origin, Afghanistan. They're going to hear about how he arrived here, ostensibly as a refugee, ostensibly, apparently. And everyone's going to draw some conclusions about who this guy is. They're going to say this is a fanatical Muslim from a Muslim country that we went to war with. We went to war, we bombed them, we engendered hatred, then we brought them here. They hate us, and now they're killing us. He was motivated by his radical, fanatical religion, ideology. He shouted Allahu Akbar, killed Americans, and what we see is what we get. And that's one way to look at it. Maybe that's the case, because all that is true. He is effectively a refugee from Afghanistan, probably is a fanatical Muslim, or could be. Could be. It's plausible. He shot these Americans. They claim he yelled Allahu Akbar. So maybe he hates America. Maybe he hates what America is doing with Israel and Gaza. Maybe he hates what America did in Afghanistan. Who knows? Maybe it's PTSD. Maybe he, because he was a fighter or was involved with American forces in some way, maybe it's like PTSD. Who knows? But we have to understand exactly what this is. And a lot of people don't know that when the United States conducted its operation in Afghanistan over the last 20 years, we recruited support from the locals, the local tribes, militias, soldiers. We recruited the locals to help in many different capacities as we were fighting the conflict, as security forces, military forces, as translators, in a number of different roles. And this is why he was brought to America under the program. It's called Allies Welcome. Why is it called Allies Welcome? Because these are not just any refugees. These are not women and children. These are not fleeing refugees, not strictly speaking. Allies welcome. These are collaborators. These are collaborationists. These are not Afghans that were with the Taliban or ISIS-K. These are Afghans who were working with the United States military and special forces and probably working with them for many years and living with them and working with them and ostensibly supporting the goals of the American occupation. That's how we got here. Allies welcome. In 2021, when the Taliban retook control over the country, of course, everybody that was collaborating with the United States is going to be killed. The United States is fighting the Taliban for 20 years. We took power from them. We controlled Afghanistan. When we left, the Taliban filled the void. And actually, we beat a retreat. We were being defeated by the Taliban, effectively. The Taliban was taking over anyway. We could not maintain control of the country from a distance or indefinitely. And so everybody working with the United States was going to be probably captured and imprisoned or killed by the Taliban. So we brought all of our collaborators back to the United States because we owe them. We owe these people. Like we owe the Israelis, like we owe the Kurds, like we owe all, like we owe the Ukrainians. We owe these people in Afghanistan, so they say. So we bring this guy over under Operation Allies Welcome. And again, Is this guy a fanatical Muslim? It would seem not. On the basis of how he came here. He didn't come here as a refugee. He came here basically as a U.S. mercenary. Big difference. He didn't come here as a refugee fleeing persecution and violence, although in a sense he was. He was fleeing persecution and violence because he was a U.S. government employee. That's why he was being persecuted. That's why he was fleeing. So he's really a U.S. government employee who was extracted from Afghanistan. He would continue living in Afghanistan if a friendly government remained. If we remained, he would still be there. He was extracted from Afghanistan by his patron that he was a client for, by his boss, the United States. That's how he came here. Not an ordinary refugee, not part of mass migration or anything like that. And so this changes how we look at the attack. Was this guy some Muslim extremist? Well, it would seem that would be unlikely because there are many Muslim extremists in Afghanistan. You've got ISIS-K, the Khorasan group. You've got the Taliban. You got the Pakistani and the Afghan Taliban. You've got Balochistan and the separatists over there. You've got a lot of sectarian violence. You've got a lot of ethnic, tribal, religious violence in this region. Afghanistan is really not a real country. It's a hodgepodge of a bunch of different tribes and ethnicities. You've got Turks, you've got Pashtun, you've got a lot of different kinds of people living there. And so it would seem that if this guy was working with the United States, probably he was not a fanatic. Probably he was not a radical Muslim, a Taliban supporter, an ISIS supporter, because he would have been working with the enemy of those groups. He's a U.S. mercenary. So who is this guy really? The family says they're surprised because they said he loved the United States. So is this a Muslim refugee that killed Americans for Islamism? Or is this a former U.S. service member who went off for some reason? And it raises some questions. Understanding this, you might wonder, so this is not, you know, Rahmanullah, the Taliban member. This is Rahmanullah, the government employee. What did they do to this guy? Who is this guy? It begs a question. Did they put him up to this? If he was being handled by the U.S. military, what is their responsibility in all this? Because you do hear about false flags and you do hear about these kinds of things. And right now, it is true that there's a lot of chaos and violence in the Middle East. It's also true that Israel and the United States have far-reaching geopolitical ambitions there. Israel wants territory in a number of countries. They want Gaza and the West Bank to be absorbed. They want South Lebanon. They want South Syria. They want regime change in Iran. They want operations in Yemen and Syria and Iraq. And the United States wants its air base in Bagram back. That's what the Trump administration said. They said if he were president, we wouldn't have even fully left Afghanistan. We would have kept the base at Bagram. Why? Why is it important for the United States to have a military base in Afghanistan? Does anybody know? A lot of people don't look at a map. A lot of people don't know their geography, and that's the problem. The reason the United States wants a military base in Afghanistan is because Afghanistan shares a border with China. That's why. And specifically, Afghanistan borders East Turkestan, which is where all those troublesome Uyghur Muslims are from. And so if you wanted to spy on China, if you wanted a foothold to project power against China in Central Asia, if you wanted to monitor some of the border disputes or things going on, if you wanted to monitor their activities, maybe you wanted to foment chaos in China, form a land bridge, not just with China, but with their most troublesome population, through Afghanistan might be the way to do it. And of course, all the infrastructure at Bagram could just as easily be used against China as much as it is used against Pakistan or Iran or the Taliban or ISIS-K in the region. That's why they want the base back. And so what has happened since 2021 is the Taliban retook control of the country. The United States lost the foothold there. And now Afghanistan is the gateway for Central Asia into the Indian Ocean. And the Taliban stands to gain from critical mineral wealth. They stand to gain from trade routes through Central Asia. And the United States maybe doesn't want the Taliban to have that kind of leverage and discretion, and they don't want the Taliban to control all that territory. So the United States will not recognize the Taliban as the sovereign government of Afghanistan. I wonder if this has something to do with that in some way, shape, or form, because this is not an ordinary Afghan. And I know this. I was in D.C. a few weeks ago. I had an Uber driver. He was Afghan. We got to talking. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Afghanistan." I said, "Oh, did you come here after we left?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, a lot of us came here." He said, "There's a lot of Afghan here, and they're all Uber drivers." And I asked him about Imran Khan, and I asked him about everything that's going on over there. And he said, that's the program. He said, we are government contractors. We're in Afghanistan. We're brought over here. We love America, but we have a lot of problems here. And you almost have to wonder if this is some kind of government operation. Everyone's wondering, is this a false flag? Now, maybe that's far-fetched. I don't think that's the likely explanation, but it's a possible one. And I guess the bigger conversation is about what is happening with the National Guard. I think regardless, maybe that's far-fetched. It's certainly possible that we brought a bunch of people from Afghanistan and one of them is like a Muslim extremist or hates Americans. Certainly possible. Like I'm not going to go four-dimensional chess and say, no, there's no Muslims that kill people ever. That never happens. Like, it's possible. And maybe it is far-fetched that he was some MKUltra guy, it's a false flag guy. But it is worth mentioning he's a U.S. mercenary. So that does make a world of a difference. It's not like he's some random Syrian fighting with Al-Qaeda like the current president of Syria. No, he was a U.S. operative. He was on the U.S. payroll, and they brought him here, and they handled him. And you got to wonder what they did to him and who this guy really is, where his loyalties really lie, what that's all about. What's actually the motive there? It's worth pointing out, and it's worth asking the question. But I would say it's bigger than this. You know, I said this earlier in the year. The problem with this administration is when they increase the presence of law enforcement in a symbolic way, they're really playing with fire here. Because what the Trump administration is doing is they're gesturing towards fascism. They're signaling towards fascism, but we don't actually have it. They're creating the appearance of a police state to satisfy the base, but they're not delivering one. And people might say, well, isn't that a good thing? And I would say no. Because you can either not have a police state or you can have a police state, but you can't pretend like you have one and not have one. Why? Because what the Trump administration is doing, they're deploying National Guard allegedly to all these cities. People think that's happening, even though it's really not. They're sending Border Patrol and ICE into all the cities, rounding people up in these very visible raids, very provocative. And they're bragging about it. And again, the numbers are not high. These detention facilities, many of them are empty. The mass deportations are not happening. They're sending like hundreds of personnel to round up a dozen people. Like it's not what they're making it out to be. They're marketing it like it's a restoration of law and order, but we really don't have that. How do we know? Because we keep getting shot. In Trump's first term, we all got censored. We all got banned. In Biden's term, we all got persecuted. We got charged. We got censored from other things, banned from bank accounts, no fly list, quad S on an airplane. Under Trump, we're all getting shot. He got shot. Charlie Kirk got shot. ICE is getting shot. Guy tried to shoot me. National Guard is getting shot. They're getting shot. And the Trump administration has no ability to respond. When Charlie Kirk got shot, Trump could not even pretend to care. Did anything result from that? No. When Charlie Kirk got shot, they said, we are going to hold these people accountable. Has even one single additional arrest been made except for Tyler Robinson? Has even one? Have they investigated it at all? Have they reported their findings? No. Have Antifa been arrested? Have any far-left agitators, have they been arrested? No. Have the people inciting violence been arrested? No. So you have this gesture, immigration raids, mass deportations, Border Patrol and ICE, National Guard, going after Antifa. But it's not really there. The numbers are nothing. The National Guard deployments just haven't happened. And where they do happen, it's like a few thousand people, nothing. Border Patrol, you know, they're making a gesture, but they're not really deporting anybody. Facilities are empty. It just isn't what they say it is. The crackdown after Charlie Kirk, they've done nothing, nothing. And so you might say, well, does it hurt? Does it hurt to deport some people but not many? Does it hurt to deploy some National Guard but not enough? Yes, it does. It does hurt, and I'll tell you why. Because when you gesture towards that and you talk a big game and say, yeah, we're going after everybody, they are inciting the left. They are daring the left to retaliate. In the minds of the left, they think Trump is a fascist, and Trump says, call me a fascist. Mamdani goes to the White House and Trump says, yeah, call me a fascist. I don't care. He's embracing it. And the left really believes they're in the Third Reich. They think they're in the Fourth Trumpen Reich in America. And the Holocaust is happening. And, you know, they're fighting back and all this. And they take this shit seriously. And they're getting armed. And they're shooting ICE. And they're shooting it. It has happened several times now. They're shooting at ICE in Chicago. They're shooting at ICE in Texas. They're shooting at ICE in Washington State. Now they're shooting at the National Guard. This happens a lot. And maybe some of it is fake. Certainly some of it is real. You know, we look across the board at Luigi Mangione, Thomas Crooks, Tyler Robinson, the tranny school shootings, the shootings at ICE, the shootings at National Guard. We could say maybe some of them are fake, but definitely some are real. And the fake ones are exacerbating the real anger that is really there, the real rage that is there. And it becomes self-perpetuating. And you know that these people are sitting at home watching TV, learning about how the billionaire oligarchs are instituting their fascist police state and there's never going to be elections and the military needs to resist Trump and Trump is a tyrant. And you know, they're doing all this stuff. We got to shut down the government because Trump is destroying the institutions. And you have far left nutjobs that are saying, okay, we're going to go and kill the National Guard. We're going to go and kill ICE. These are Nazis. And if you don't actually have a police state, they're going to get away with it. It's just going to get ugly. Like I said, if you had a real police state, how is it even possible the National Guard is being ambushed like this? How does it even happen? The problem is you don't have enough of them. You got 2,000 guys and they're, you know, it's lackadaisical. They're doing their patrols or walking around. It's totally unserious. And so somebody pulls up. These people are not afraid. They're not afraid. They're not afraid to go to jail. They're not afraid to die. Same thing happens with ICE. They're following ICE convoys in their cars, honking their horns, yelling, because they're not afraid. So when you step to the enemy, when you step to the left, and you gesture towards fascism, but you're not really bringing it, you're not serious, you're just daring them to retaliate. And if you're not strong, then we're just going to get killed. If you're not going to roll up Antifa, if you're not going to deploy 100,000 National Guard, if you're not going to deport millions of people, then you're just daring them. And they're emboldened and they're not afraid and they will be out there with guns and everything. And that's what this is. I've been saying it for a long time. Crazy people and the government, they're watching these events carefully and they see the glorification of the assassins, the shooters, and between the psychedelic drugs, the weed, the Chat GPT-induced psychosis, the porn, the internet, the mental illness, the prescription drugs, this cocktail of reality-altering experiences, you have more crazy people than ever. They're all seeing the stuff, and they're all making their plans. They're all scheming. And it's really just a matter of time. This is like you have live mines, like explosive mines everywhere, and we're just waiting to step on them. We're waiting for the next psycho to pop off, waiting for the next nut job to go and arm themselves because John Oliver told them that Trump is a dictator and we're going to get more of it until and unless the Trump government is going to take it seriously and crack down. I'd support it at this point, but they're not going to do it. So they say they're going to deploy another 500. Okay, big whip. You know, this is the Capitol. This is your law enforcement are being shot next to the White House. And you increase the deployment by 20%, you need to increase it by 5,000%. Obviously. And people are watching. They see National Guard getting shot and crazy people are saying, wow, that easy? And I'm not trying to give people ideas, but that's what people are thinking. And I said it during the ICE riots at the detention facility here. I said, watch, the next thing that's going to happen, some ICE guy is going to get killed. And then it's going to escalate to a whole different level. The only difference is now they shot two National Guard in D.C. Slightly different. But it's not cool. And it just goes to show. Sometimes it's better if your guy loses. It's better to not even bark up that tree. Because look at what Trump is bringing out in the left. We kicked out Biden, who was weak and senile, and the left was going down, and we brought in Trump. And Trump is now killing our side single-handedly, and he's inviting the left to refortify, regroup, and become maybe more vicious than ever because he's not serious. And that's the thing. I would love if he was. I don't like to sit here and hate on Trump all the time. But you know what? That's why people like him, and that's what people wanted, and I would like him if he delivered, but it isn't there. And that's putting all of us in jeopardy. People are looking at this saying, wow, it's kind of stupid, isn't it? Two National Guard just got caught with their pants around their ankles. They just got shot, and the guy got away. And they arrested him, obviously, but he was able to get it off. This is a very ominous and dark sign, and it's very worrisome. And I don't like where this is going because this is now a part of a bigger pattern. Trump gets shot. Another guy shows up at Mar-a-Lago. Luigi Mangione kills the CEO. Then you get a couple of transgender mass shootings. We had that one in Minneapolis not too long ago. Then you get the Charlie Kirk shooting. You get the attacks on ICE, the attacks on National Guard. This is all part of the same story, by the way. And the government doesn't even seem to have a message on it, let alone a solution. There's no messaging from the White House. The policy sucks. There's no solution. So we're strapped in for 3 more years of this, and I don't like it. And it's like, again, what is the Trump government really doing for you if now we're literally being shot by the left? Like, do you realize that Charlie Kirk being shot by whoever shot him, that was a failure of the Trump administration? At the minimum, you expect that when your government is in power, your people don't get shot in the fucking head. And if they do, you're going to burn the whole village down. You know, you're going to burn the whole forest down. You're going to destroy everybody that even thought about it. That should be the benefit of being in power. But Trump gets elected, we start getting shot. How is this good for us? His own loyalists are quitting because they don't want to get shot. It's what it is.